Hey, everybody. Welcome to Reality TV Rehap-Ups, Amazing Race Canada edition. My name is Jessica Leese. With me, as always, my co-host, Dan Heaton. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
And we have a very, very special treat for you tonight in light of the news that the upcoming season of Amazing Race Canada will be allowing you to vote in a previous contestant. We have one such previous contestant here to talk us through the upcoming vote and relive some of these experiences. Please welcome one half of the dynamic duo of Jet and Dave from season one of Amazing Race Canada, Mr. Dave Schramm. Hello, Dave.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited to talk to you. It's really such a fun time. We've never gotten to podcast about season one before because we weren't recording a podcast then, but the recollection was that you and Jet basically stole the entire season out from under everybody. And on our short list of people to come back, you were always number one on the list for me.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, like, I don't know. I think, honestly, the reason I think we kind of resonated with a lot of people was just the fact that we were genuinely having fun. And I think people tune in every week. You know, they want to see Canada, they want to see entertainment, but I think, like, at the end of the day, they want to see people having fun and really kind of enjoying it, because especially the race, like, it's such a stressful environment, and it's such a, you know, you do, like, it is very hard. So I think when you can, you know, when you can do it and still kind of make jokes and have fun and, you know, take it, you know, not life or death, I think that's why, you know, people kind of, you know, got excited about us. And it was crazy.
So how long have you known that you were going to be part of this vote?
So not long. They just kind of sprung it on us. And so, you know, they asked, would you want to be part of this vote? And we instantly said yes. And, you know, I often got asked, like, is there going to be an all-star? Like, if there's an all-stars, would you do it? And we were always like, yeah, of course. Like, if there's an all-star, if they asked us, then for sure, we'd love to do it again. So this vote thing is a big curveball and just kind of came out of nowhere. So yeah, we're just kind of, I don't know, we're rolling with the punches, and I'm stressed. It's stressful. I'm like, you know, because it's not like you're just on or you're not. It's like, it's this vote thing that's hanging over my head. So we'll have to see.
Have you had any, have they talked to you in the past about whether you were interested? Because I know a lot of reality shows are constantly asking people, hey, would you like to come back some point in the future? Have you guys talked with them much about that since season one?
No. And now, like, we've always kind of kept in touch with the producers and stuff. And there were, you know, other opportunities that we had kind of worked on and done some stuff for. But there never had been, they'd never kind of, like, given us an option or really asked us much about the race other than, you know, they enjoyed having us. We obviously love working with them. So no, it was totally out of the blue, totally unexpected.
And it's a really tight turnaround too. You have basically 2 weeks to get your name back out there. Is that, what has your strategy been for that?
So, yeah. Like, I mean, honestly, I had to reactivate my Twitter account. I had to, you know, since I used to call it the Facebook, now it's just Facebook. Season one's a long time ago, right? So all joking aside, I mean, it's 7 years, right? So at first we were kind of like, oh, like, are people even going to remember us? You know, because the other two teams, I think, are from, I don't know, season three, season four. So, you know, that was like kind of our fear, was like, we're not really top of mind anymore. And so, yeah, our strategy is just trying to, like you just said, kind of get our name out there again. And I don't know, we've been pretty fortunate. We have a lot of people tweeting, sending us Facebook messages. A lot of these people are, you know, they're kind of reliving some of the moments and quite frankly, reminding me of some of the moments. They're like, oh, remember this, you know, remember this thing or remember this time you guys did this, or like, you know, we had a lot of fun watching you do, et cetera. And so it's actually kind of been fun to, you know, kind of go down memory lane and remember a lot of the fun times that we did have on the show, because we did have an absolute blast. You know, we didn't win, although I sometimes tell people we did. But I'm hoping, you know, season seven, lucky season seven, you know, hopefully the first thing we got to do is win this vote and then you know, set our sights on winning the season.
So if you came back, is there anything that you'd be doing differently?
Oh, tough question. I mean, I think we did a lot right in season one, as far as, you know, supporting each other, trying not to get too upset with each other, you know, having fun while we, you know, kind of whistle while you work mentality. And I truly think it helped us. I think it helped us stay positive. It helped us not get on each other's case. So that was, I would say, I would put that in the good column. In the bad column, or the what I would, you know, want to improve on, I think is just maybe decision making, you know, kind of taking, you know, you get to make these decisions. You have to make these decisions kind of in a split second. So I think if we just kind of take a couple more breaths and think through, you know, what do we want to do here? How do we want to attack this? Because sometimes we would just kind of like get into it. And, you know, perfect example was the first thing we did on The Amazing Race. We ran, packed our bags up, and it just said, it said something like, go in and face your fears, get your next clue. So we run in, and it's like a big maze thing. So we run in, the first box we see, there's a clue inside. So we just reach inside, grab the clue, and we leave. Well, what we didn't know or realize was that, you know, there was like 10 other boxes the further you got in, and each of them had, some had like butterflies like we had, some had scorpions. So if you chose something that was quote unquote scary, then, you know, you got a better flight. So just little things like that, just kind of like taking your time. And then, you know, again, like there's a couple of things we've gone into, you know, we chose route A and you get into it, and 20 minutes later, you're like, what the hell were we thinking? Why? Like, why did we ever choose this? We shouldn't have. And, you know, then you got to switch. So, yeah, that's what I would change. Just slow it down a bit.
Is there anything you've learned from keeping up with the show? Have you been watching the subsequent seasons and thinking, oh, man, if I was in there, I would do that, or I would make this choice? What have you seen in the intervening seasons that you'd really like to be doing?
So the new, in the Canada one, at least, I'm not sure about the American one, but in the Canadian one, they're doing, what's it called, a face-off, where you like actually go against the other team. That's something I'm actually excited for, because I love competition. I love games. I'm very competitive, almost to a fault. So I think being able to just go up like head to head against another team would be super fun. I have watched all the seasons of the Canadian version. I'm actually not up to date on the American version, but the Canadian one I watch, and I always have, like, I have my favorite teams, and, you know, I'll send them a tweet or something. So I get excited about it. And, but they have, you know, W turn now, that's new. They have a couple. Yeah. I was just reading over the rules and I was like, man, I gotta brush up on this. I gotta learn this. I don't even know the difference between a detour and a roadblock anymore. I need to remember. I need to get back into race mode.
So, on a similar note, you know, you guys may assuming would be like, you would stand out as the returning players with all these new players, you know, like your season, you had, you know, Body Break, the big celebrities who kind of everyone kind of looked at as the big threat. And you guys kind of were able to kind of hide a little more in the background. How are you going to handle if you're on it being like, I assume the teams will remember you, but being the team that people remember from that season and that kind of is the expert returning player?
Yeah, it's weird. I actually hadn't really thought of that until last night. And you know why last night? Because I was watching Survivor. And Joe, is that his name? Joe? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joe.
Yeah.
He's back on Survivor. And he was kind of saying the same thing. He's like, you know, you walk in and, you know, you instantly kind of feel like you have a target on your back. And like, it's not like you're welcomed. And I hadn't really even thought of that. But no, for sure. Like, this is going to be, I think there's 10 teams plus one returning. I'm not sure yet, but whatever. Let's call it 10. But yeah, these 10 teams, like, I'm sure they're not going to be thrilled to see us, or if we don't win this vote, whoever, you know, and I don't know how that's going to play out as far as U-turns, W-turns, et cetera. You know, it is weird. Like, and I mean, we have done it before. It was a long time ago, but at least like the first couple legs, I think it may give us a bit of an advantage just to like, you know, we've kind of like, we do know what to expect slightly, but I think after the first couple legs, it really isn't going to matter. We also never left Canada, right? Season one was, and to quote the producer here, yeah, a love letter to Canada. And that was kind of the thing. Like, they didn't want to leave Canada. They wanted to show Canadians what they're missing, just like the U.S. Canada is a massive country, right? So much to see, and a lot of probably Americans and Canadians don't get out of their state, right? They don't go and travel. They, you know, they'll hop on a plane and go to Mexico before they hop on a plane and go to some other state. And so we've never had that aspect of it. We've never had the international aspect. We've never had the, you know, the language barriers and the, you know, the taxi drivers who you can't speak to. So that'll all be brand new to us as well. So I think it'll be kind of even, but yeah, I don't expect many teams to be excited to see us. That's for sure.
Well, that's certainly the next thing I was going to ask was, how prepared do you feel to leave the country if it comes to that?
So I have been very fortunate in my life to do a lot of traveling. I love to travel. I'm always, you know, kind of planning 6 months out in advance. So, you know, I've been to countries where I don't speak the language, where you have to, you know, try and act out, you know, what you want. I think it's just, again, another layer to the game of Amazing Race. And, you know, I don't know. I've never been that intimidated to travel and to, you know, meet other people, other languages, other cultures. So, I mean, personally, I'm excited. I'm excited to think of the opportunity. I'm excited to, like, you know, open the envelope and, hey, you're going to blank. And chances are I have not been there, and I'm stoked. Honestly, I'm really excited. I think if there's, I would rather go to a place I haven't been to than a place I have been to, for sure.
Yeah. Well, on a related note to that, are you planning, assuming you win the vote, I don't think you have much time, but are you doing any other preparing besides watching the show? And
yes.
So what are you doing?
You know, 7 years ago, I started running a lot, and I really tried to get in shape for the show. And since then, you know, I believe it or not, I haven't had an amazing race to train for. So I have been just enjoying my life. You know, I've been eating, I've been making good food, I've been just shunning the gym every chance I get. So I definitely need to get back into shape. And since I don't have much of a turnaround, that's going to consist of a crash diet and running. I'm just going to run. That's my goal. I don't think there's anything on the race that's going to be, you know, you don't need to be a bodybuilder like Blackie in order to be on the race, right? So I'm not afraid that, you know, I don't have the strength to do anything. I'm worried about the endurance. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about running around all day and just, you know, being exhausted. So I'm going to just start running. And like last time when I was getting ready for season one, I just ran, you know, 3 to 5 miles a day, every single day. And unfortunately, you know, I won't have much turnaround time here, but I just got to get as much running in as I can. So I don't want people to, you know, if we do get on, be like, who's that guy? You know, it's Jet, and who's that? You know, I want them to actually know that it's me and not, you know, call me names and stuff. I don't want to be body shamed.
Well, I think the casts of most of the seasons of Amazing Race Canada have been overwhelmingly supportive of each other. I wouldn't worry too much about that, but safe to assume that that your partner does not have the same problems. He's been keeping up with his fitness.
Yeah. So he actually was a firefighter in season. Sorry. No, he was a police officer in season one. And a couple years ago, he actually moved to Toronto and he actually got a job as a firefighter. So in between, you know, saving lives, they have a lot of downtime. And sorry, I don't want to rag on firefighters. But yeah, he definitely stays in shape better than I do. He also got married. A couple, 5-6 months ago. So he had to, you know, yeah, you got to be in shape for that because you don't want to, you know, look too chubby. See, I have a different approach though. Like if I'm going to get married, I actually want to put on like 50 pounds. So then when I lose it all, you know, and then you look back in 20 years, instead of looking back and being like, oh my God, look how thin I was, blah, 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 I'm going to look back and be like, oh yeah, I look so much better than I did 20 years. That's kind of my mentality. But no, he's definitely in shape. So, but he, you know what? He's not very good at cardio. He's not good at cardio. So I, you know, if he listens to this, get on the treadmill, bud. We need that stamina.
Well, I will give you a tip, which I'm sure you probably know. Practice dancing. I know the two of you are dancers, but the show, just every week you'll have a dance task. So this is what you should do more than run.
Okay, so you notice that. You notice that too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I on the season. Yeah, when I did the season, I did a dance. And luckily, I did pretty well at it. But I have. Yeah, I was going to supplement my running with dance classes for sure, because it seems to be, you're totally right, it seems to be a weekly thing. So I gotta remember how to, you know, count to eight. I think you just count to eight and then start over and just learn those steps.
Well, I have to assume your cheerleading past is going to help you there.
Again, they only count to eight as well. So yeah, when I first started cheerleading, I counted to 9 or 10 a couple times, and I got in trouble. Let me tell you, they were not impressed. But yeah, it's funny too. Some of my old cheer friends have been messaging me and wishing me luck and stuff. So it's kind of fun to, you know, honestly, like the people have been amazing, and we've had people from all over, you know, Canada reaching out, but especially in my hometown of London, you know, like the response has, it's kind of humbling at times, honestly, you know, because again, like I don't know 95% of the people who, you know, send me a tweet. I don't know. I've never met, you know, they're not my friends, they're not my family. So, you know, when you get love and support from friends and family, it's to be expected. You know, when you get love and support from random people you've never met, I think it means a lot more. And it, you know, you kind of have this like obligation, right? And same thing when we were on season one, like we did, like every week I was like, you know, people are cheering for us, and it sucked when we knew, because, you know, we knew that we had been eliminated in season one while they're showing these. And, you know, as the season went on, we were getting stronger and stronger, and we won a couple legs in a row, and people are just, you know, they're coming up to me on the street like, oh, like, you know, I know you won. And obviously, you know, you just smile and you can't say anything. And then, but in the back of your mind, like, you know, right? You're like, oh God, I'm a fraud. I lost. And then when we did lose, we had people coming up to us telling us that, you know, oh, their child cried themselves to sleep that night. And like, you're just like, oh, don't tell me that. Like, I already feel so guilty and badly. But, you know, again, it does kind of show the level of, you know, kind of support we were getting. And again, humbling is just like the perfect word for it.
Not to dig too much into sad memories, but I'm curious if you thought at all about that, like, last leg and what happened and, you know, not what you could have done differently, but I'm just curious if you think about that and kind of how that went, you know, for you guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would totally be lying if I said I never thought about it. But I also, you know, you do have kind of quite a lot of time to, I don't know if come to terms with is the right word, but yeah, like I had a lot of guilt because it was, you know, it was my, I don't know. What was it? A detour or roadblock?
Roadblock.
I don't know. Who knows? Okay. Roadblock. It was my roadblock. And so obviously I felt guilty, and I think me crying on national television was proof of that. But yeah, after the fact, though, you do kind of, I don't know, you look back and you're like, I don't know. You're like, well, I did do a lot right, didn't I? You know, and you kind of like, but it does eat at you. Like, of course. And there's still times where you're like, oh, man, who knows, right? Who knows what could, if I had just got that extra $5 5 minutes earlier, like what would have happened in the finale, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I don't know. What would I do differently? I don't know. I wouldn't move. That's for sure. I kind of went away from the center because someone told me that it's a little more popular down there. So I kind of, you know, ventured off, and I definitely wouldn't do that. I don't know. Devil sticks, just not a big hit. Devil sticks were, but it was all I had. I don't know. I can't juggle. I can devil sticks, and that's, you know, I don't know. I think the other contestants too kind of, I think they kind of brought it too, you know, like Selena's hula hooping away. You know, she just, I'm getting ready to give some money to her because she's doing such a great job. You know, Tim's juggling, which is like an actual skill as opposed to devil sticking. And then Jody, like he has no legs and he's like talking about, you know, being a war hero, essentially. And I was like, ugh.
It's hard to compete with that.
Yes, it was hard to compete with that, as our placement would, you know, dictate. But yeah, so I guess the long and short answer is, you know, I did my best. I was trying kind of my hardest, and it sucked at the time. But looking back on it, you know, it is what it is. And we still got to do so much amazing, pun intended, amazing stuff after the show. You know, we got to do stuff with World Vision in Brazil. We got to do some TV stuff. We did a big, you know, this big gala dinner in Toronto for the Special Olympics. You know, I mean, we had so many opportunities after the show, which, like, again, we hadn't been expecting. And that was cool. That was, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say it was better than winning $250,000 each, but pretty good nonetheless.
You just have to approach everything with the right attitude, right?
Exactly. And I think we did that. So that was like winning, I guess. That's what I tell people.
Well, sure. Is there anything on your wish list that, you didn't get to do the first time out that you'd like to visit or see or attempt?
Great question. So the wish list. So one thing, so I'll kind of start actually with one thing that I think other people had a wish list for that I don't agree with, but a lot of people will say, oh, like, you know, aren't you pissed that you didn't get to leave Canada? And I, I honestly and truthfully respond to that in no. Like, I'm actually glad that I was on the first season, and I am actually glad that we didn't leave Canada. And that's not just, you know, me saying that because I was on that season, but when you heard the producers really explaining, and in the opening scene of season one, the host, John Montgomery, Canadian legend, says, and again, I've only ever seen the show once, so I forget the exact quote, but it was something along the lines of 50% of Canadians will never leave their province. So they may go abroad, they may travel, you know, to another country, they'll go to States, they'll go to Florida for the week, but they won't actually go see another province. And that just made me so sad, because growing up, I was fortunate enough for my parents to take us on these massive road trips across the country. And, you know, I had seen so many of our provinces. Back to your, I guess I'm kind of going in the opposite direction of your question is, I am glad that we did do that. But with that being said, I did that. So now I am super stoked for the potential of leaving the country and getting out there. And, you know, I'm not looking forward to these long flights, but I am looking forward to the languages, the scents, the smells, you know, just everything about being dropped into foreign countries. Because I personally, I love to travel, and I think traveling gives back so much to a person. And I think there's so much to learn from other cultures. And I mean, I don't know how much traveling you guys have done, but the fact that you obviously love, you know, reality TV show and The Amazing Race, you know, there's more out there, right? And it's not, it's not worse, it's not better. It's just like, there's different, right? And this world's, there's so much out there to see and do. So yeah, I don't know. I'm stoked for that, honestly. I don't know if I answered your question. I think I kind of just went off on a tangent, but.
Well, that's the best kind of tangent though. Like, I could talk about travel all night.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. And I mean, I think Canadians got to get out there. I think Americans have to get out there. I mean, we both probably think we live in the, if not one of the greatest countries in the world. I think that's not really up for debate. We're all so fortunate to live where we live. And that goes for, you know, a large part of, that goes for a lot of countries in the world, but it doesn't mean that there's not, you know, so much to like still take in and learn. And, you know, I went to university in Australia, and all the time I would think, wow, like, I can't believe that we don't have this in Canada. And then there was other times where I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what are you guys doing? Like, this is just so, you know, like, we did this 20 years ago. Come on. Like, you know, and again, like, I think like Australia is a great country, right? But it's just, you know, you get to experience things. And it doesn't matter if you're in an Australia or in a, you know, developing country, there's always stuff to see and learn and do. And I think, that's just my mentality, and it's how I've, you know, again, been fortunate to travel. So I love it.
So where's your favorite place that you've ever been?
Okay. So I have a couple, and obviously, you know, it depends what you want to see. But personally, I love Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. You know, the mix of the beach, the ocean, the samba, the passion that they have. I was there for Carnival. So like the music, you know, and there's an interesting country. They have just the richest of the rich, and they have the poorest of the poor, and they have this massive divide. And Rio specifically is a perfect example of that, because they say it's the only city where the poor get an oceanfront view, because they have these what they call favelas, which are these essentially like these shanty towns that are made out of tin, and they're all on these mountainsides, and they're built on you know, fault lines or places that are, you know, prone to flooding, prone to what's the word I'm looking for, like mudslides, et cetera. The ground's, you know, not secure, but right next to it, the ground has been deemed secure. So you literally have these $1 million mansions like on, you know, this side of the mountain. And then, you know, 100 feet to the left, you have this like massive favelas. And again, you know, you go somewhere and that's a place where you can go and you can learn. And, you know, you can learn there pretty quickly about, you know, what, how the people live that have money and how the people live that don't have money. But again, like, I know I love Rio. Australia has a, you know, a place in my heart because I went to school there. New Zealand was unbelievable because it reminded me a lot of home. It reminded me a lot of Canada. And then the place my girlfriend and I just went a couple years ago was Iceland. And 10 days in Iceland, and just hands down, probably the best trip I've ever been on. It's just spectacular. If you get the chance to go to Iceland, do it. Like, we did the whole country and it was just unbelievable. The stuff you see there, like within an hour drive, it's just like, okay, I'm at a hot spring. Now I'm at a waterfall. Now I'm at a glacier. Now I'm at a black sand beach. Now I'm at a lava field. Like, it's just one thing after another. So spectacular. Yeah. So yeah, that would be my highlight. My bucket list places I want to go. Top of the list is probably Japan, Argentina. I would say those are the two places I'd love to go. And then I've never been, and I'm like kind of embarrassed to say this, I've never been to Africa. So I hate to lump Africa together because I think it's bigger than North America, isn't it? Or?
Yeah, it's, yeah, I think it is.
Well, all of those places make me really excited to travel right now, pretty much. But I did want to mention Canada because Jess and I always talk about this, like watching Amazing Race Canada makes us just want to like constantly book trips to Canada.
I personally have been to Canada 3 times since I started watching Amazing Race Canada, and I'm going a fourth time next month.
Love it.
So I think the first season especially, but all the seasons are really good at that. But I wanted to ask you on that note. So yeah, you were part of the first season on a show that has now aired 6 years, that is super popular, one of the most popular in the country, in Canada. How does it feel to be part of that like original season of that? Like, what is, how does it feel now looking back at that season? And, you know, it was kind of, you guys were, the show was still figuring itself out at the start.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. Yeah, we... And I think that's why there's such a special place, you know, in my heart for the Amazing Race and season one and staying in Canada for the reasons I, you know, already said. It was just awesome to be a part of kind of the history / the introduction of, you know, our very own Amazing Race. I mean, I think at that point there have been like, I don't know, 15 seasons of the American one or something like that. So I think Canadians were kind of primed and ready for it. But no one was ready for the reception that it got. And like the producers, the like Bell, CTV, the sponsors, nobody knew or predicted the response and the viewers it would get. I think they were getting 4.5 million viewers a week or something close to that. Don't quote me on that, but I, you know, I think they had really targeted for one, you know, 1.5, 2, maybe 2 in their wildest dreams. So they were basically pulling in twice the numbers that they had expected. And I think, you know, in a country of 35 million, that's big. That's huge. So yeah, I do look back on it in kind of with some pride and, yeah, there was so much that went into it and, you know, the people who, you know, we made the video, but you know, the casting people, you know, they saw it and they saw potential in us and they, you know, they're the ones that picked us and put us on the show. So And I just think they did an amazing job with it. You know, you didn't watch it and think, oh, like this is the, you know, some cheap knockoff. You know, it was just so well done. And it was just as good as the original, in my opinion. And it did do a lovely job of showcasing Canada. Like you know, you kind of said, you know, this is not a country that, you can drive, 6 hours and you're on the other side of it. It is so diverse, And again, I mean, just like the States, right? Like you guys have so much to see and do down there. And same with us. And I think the biggest problem that people have is money. You know, it's like I can go to Cuba or Mexico for a week, you know, all I can drink, all I can eat, you know, $1,500. But, you know, a flight out to BC to go skiing for a week, and you're looking at like $3,000, right? Like just the flights alone and within Canada are very expensive. So I think that's the biggest kind of legacy that season one left with people was get out and see your country. Like just do it. Like there's so much here. You don't need to leave in order to see great things. And again, like I encourage people to travel no matter where. So yeah, but like, you know, do take some time to see Canada, you know, give it a little love as well, because there's so much here. So yeah, being part of season one was amazing, and you know, everything that went into it was just they were just a class act, and Bell, CTV, Insight, it was an honor, an absolute honor, and they treated us all so well. So yeah, just thrilled to be part of season one.
Part of season one and potentially part of season seven as well. So if people want to vote to get you back in, how do they do that?
So the best way to vote is to go to ctv.ca. I'm pretty sure it's ctv.ca/The Amazing Race or The Amazing Race Canada. Oh, wow. I'm doing a bad job at this. ctv.ca, The Amazing Race. And then there's three teams that you can vote for. And if you want to vote for us, which I hope you do, then you click on vote button and submit your vote. And the beauty of it, so I was actually just in Mexico. I just got home last night. I hadn't even voted for myself yet. I would be the world's worst politician because I absolutely hate this, like, you know, self-promotion stuff, but I got to do it. But anyways, you can vote as many times as you want. So if you're, you know, brushing your teeth and you just want to hit vote, vote, vote. If you're watching, if you're catching up on season one of The Amazing Race Canada and you just want to vote nonstop, you do you. I will never ask you not to vote as many times as you want.
I'll get my friends in Cherry Hill, New Jersey to write some bot scripts for you.
Thank you. I've been dying for someone to, I'm not allowed to do that, but if Cherry Hill, New Jersey, if they're bot capital of the world, go for it.
They definitely are that. Is there anything else you want to tell our listeners?
If your listeners are in Canada, then I would encourage you to vote for us and to go see Canada. And if your listeners are in the States, hey, we're your closest neighbors and allies. Come on up and see us. We got a lot to offer, and fries and cheese and gravy is just one of the many things that we have to offer.
You got smoked meat and bagels too. That's what I hear they have in Montreal. That's where I'm going next month.
Oh yeah, they got lots of stuff in Montreal. Yeah, we got everything. We got everything you could ever want up here except tigers. There's no tigers, but other than tigers, we pretty much got you covered.
Well, you got to go somewhere else to see tigers anyway.
Yeah, Bali.
All right. Well, Dave, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us about all things Amazing Race Canada. And we want to wish you the best of luck in getting voted back in. I wouldn't take it personally if Canada doesn't vote you in. I'm sure they're going to, but we here at Rob Has a Podcast have had terrible luck with Canada voting people back in. Our very own Kirsten McInnes didn't get on to Big Brother Canada 6, but we like to think that Canada has learned from that experience and they will make the right choice this time.
I hope you're right. And you know what? Again, it's up to Canada or the bots. Whatever happens, happens. If we don't get on, then I sincerely hope whatever team does, you know, I hope that I wish them well. But you know what? If we do get on, I hope we get to do another podcast with you.
Oh, we'd love to have you back anytime.
Yeah, good awesome. Luck. It's I'm really excited to see what happens.
Wicked. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much, Dave. And best of luck to you.